Let us pray. Lord, bless us with your Holy Spirit as we listen to your word, as we contemplate our word. Bless our words, our thoughts, and our feelings. Amen. Today, as you know, is Remembrance Sunday, and I'm hoping that we will get somewhere around 11 o'clock to the act of remembrance. So this will be a short sermon. You're probably very pleased. It's also a sermon which builds on and takes the story forward. Our two Bible readings follow the Bible readings from last week. This will be self-contained, but it will indeed refer back to some of the themes last week. Themes of particularly the Thessalonians passage we can recognise in the news round about us. They describe a situation where it feels as if the world is in a mess. There seems to be chaos in the political and social order. And at the time of the Thessalonians, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, people were looking to God to act in some sort of decisive way to put the world right. And God, don't we need that at the moment? They wanted God to step in and put the world right. They thought that would involve the end of the world as they knew it. And many people had that expectation. And the New Testament is full of very interesting comments about it. In a passage we didn't hear last week or this week, but a passage in the various of the Gospels, Jesus warns his followers not to look at the signs of chaos, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the destructions, the wars, the social unrest, the famines, not to look at those things and assume that they mean that the world is about to end tomorrow. Jesus says absolutely clearly, do not try and calculate the times in that sort of way. Do not interpret it that way. Don't assume that the signs of chaos are signs of an imminent end of the world as we know it. The passages we heard last week made the opposite criticism and point, if you like. They said, don't assume that because the world hasn't ended between the resurrection of Christ and now, that nothing's ever going to happen. Don't assume that because nothing's happened for quite a bit, you can sit back on your laurels. Don't assume that because the world hasn't come to an end, you don't have to work to prepare God's kingdom. You don't need to do your bit of living in God's way. Don't assume that. Don't assume you can wait for God to do something decisive and then rush around and do everything you need to do to get ready. Don't sit back. Today's reading from the letter to the Thessalonians takes that point and extends it one step further. As well as saying don't sit back because you don't know when God's going to need you, when God's going to want to make use of you, as well as saying that, it effectively says, though it didn't say it in quite this way, don't put your trust in political slogans. Don't put your trust in politicians and political slogans. I make no comment, you can apply it to the current situation yourself. But when people say there's peace and security, watch out. When people say what we're doing will bring about prosperity and security and peace, be very, very careful, says Paul writing to the Thessalonians. And who were the people who went round saying, there's peace and security, all will be well? Well, it was some of the prophets, false prophets. But above all, it was the Roman emperors who talked about the Pax Romana, who talked about the peace and security that the empire brought. And indeed it did, but at huge cost of armies moving over the face of the earth and oppressing people. That's what brought peace and security. Villages burnt, people oppressed, people in slavery. If you think that because the politicians appear to have produced peace and security for a time, that everything's going to be all right, you will find yourself in a mess, says Paul, writing to the Thessalonians. Don't trust them. Work for God's kingdom. If in the course of events there appears to be a time when things are more peaceful than they were a bit before, more prosperous than they were a bit before, what do you do with that gift? Today is Remembrance Sunday, when we have over the years remembered and given thanks for those who gave their lives in war, gave their lives willingly as a sacrifice sometimes, and sometimes had their lives taken away when they didn't want to die, for the sake of justice and peace. The First World War, the start of the 20th century, was billed as the war to end all wars. And it produced peace and prosperity and security for some. And we've had more wars and more dead since than in hundreds of years before. You get peace and security somewhere at the price of somebody else having war somewhere else. We've stopped having the wars in Europe, but we've exported them to other places where Western powers fight each other in non-Western countries. But when peace for a time is won, it is a genuine gift to be rejoiced in. But how do we best remember those lives taken away brutally, those lives given willingly? How do we cherish and remember that gift? I want to say just briefly this morning that those gifts of peace and prosperity and security, which people in the past have given their lives to achieve and to bring into realization and reality here and now, they're like the gifts given by the master to the servants in the parable. The three servants are given some of the master's gift as a free, gracious gift. He gives them, if you like, money and resources. And you know the story well enough. I don't need to go through it for you. You heard it a few moments ago. Two servants don't just take the gift, they make use of it. One is so frightened of his master, so frightened of being criticized, so cautious, so goody-goody, so not wanting to be the one who's found to have done something wrong, so careful, so worried about what other people would think, particularly his master, that he simply takes what he's been given and puts it aside safely. So that when the master comes back, he can simply hand back what he's been given, just as it was. Who can criticize him for that? And he's the one who gets it in the neck. If God gives us love, And we simply put God's love and God's grace and God's salvation and God's peace in a trophy cabinet somewhere inside our own hearts. And every now and again take it out and give it a polish and then put it back again. Then we're in the state of the third servant. God's love and God's grace and God's peace, which other human beings who've gone before us have given their lives to help bring into existence in our world, are a fragile thing unless they are used. The point of God's love is to actually love dynamically and create more love. God's grace is given to us. For us, this is the incredible thing to take risks with. That's what the first two servants do. They take the risk of using the gift that God, the Master, has given them. To put it in the language of love, if God has given you love, then risk loving. Loving others. Loving the loveless. If God has given you peace, take the risk of trying to make further peace. If God has given you security, take the risk of trying to make other people feel and be secure. If God has given you prosperity, take the risk of trying to make others more prosperous. That is the message of the parable. And as you see, those who take the risk of using the gift end up enriching others and being enriched more themselves. But they don't do it to be enriched themselves. They do it because they let God's love love them into loving. And as we remember those who've had their lives taken away, the victims of war, and those who've given their lives in war, let us make use of the gift they've given us to make as much as we can peace in God's world. Amen.